This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Since 1952, every 10 years, Sight and Sound magazine puts out a list of the top 100 greatest films of all time. This year, they polled about 1,600 film critics, academics, and writers, and something interesting happened. For the first time, a female filmmaker took the top spot. Chantal Ackerman's 1975 movie, Jeanne d'Illman. It overtook last year's winner, which was Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo, and Orson Welles' Citizen Kane, which held the top spot for 5 decades. Ackerman's film was on the list previously, but it was in 36th place. The film is a slow, quiet, slice-of-life depiction of a widowed woman going about her daily tasks, mainly inside her small apartment. She's cooking and she's cleaning. She's constantly moving. There's not a lot of dialogue, and it clocks in at more than 3 hours. Here to talk about it is Alicia Malone. She is host of TCM, Turner Classic Movies, and she's also the author of several books, including The Female Gaze, Essential Movies Made by Women. Alicia, welcome back to Press Play.
Hi, it's so great to be back.
Great to have you. All right, so you are a fan of this movie, I assume.
Yes.
That's why we're
yes.
talking to you about it, and you know a lot about it. For people who haven't seen it, talk about who this woman is, Jeanne d'Illman, and what she's doing day after day in her apartment.
Yes, this is a very demanding film. As you said, it's quite slow. It takes its time. It definitely doesn't have the sort of fast-paced editing and the cadence that we're used to watching in films right now. But if you can let yourself get mesmerized in it, you will be absorbed. So Jeanne d'Illman, she is a single mother, and she's also a sex worker, and she goes about her daily life. We watch her over 3 days, and we get to know her routines. She's someone who is very tightly controlled. She's very organized. She does things in the same way every day. And so once you start to watch exactly what she's doing, and again, not many cuts, as long takes, the camera is very still as we're just observing her go about her day, you start to get to know her routine. And so when something goes awry, we won't spoil what that is, it feels disastrous. It feels mm-hmm. catastrophic when suddenly her very ordered life goes out of order, when she forgets to turn off the radio, or if she burns her potatoes. I mean, it's all things that just seem very everyday. But once you start to watch her and you realize what it means when things are out of control, it does feel like something quite catastrophic and disastrous.
Yes, something ominous on the horizon when
yes.
she wakes up on one of the mornings and she buttons her robe and she forgets to button one button.
Exactly. And something I love that Chantal Ackerman, the director, talked about in terms of this film is that she wanted to elevate a woman's domestic life to high drama, to, you know, something akin to a car chase or a kiss in movies, that a woman's daily life should be examined in the same way and held to the same regard as films that have tropes that we often think of as being very masculine. You may not like it, but you will have an experience one way or another.
Absolutely. Well, I absolutely loved it. And I have to say, I didn't watch it all in one sitting. And I regret doing mm-hmm. that, because I think that's part of it, that you have to actually feel the way she does, the monotony in a way and the restlessness, the sort of feeling trapped in one place of it,
yes.
rather than watch it in chunks on your TV and turn it on and off and go about your daily chores. But it really
yeah.
did, at the end of it, make me question and think about the daily things that I do and what the meaning of them is. So you tossed off kind of casually that she's a sex worker.
Yes.
Let's revisit that, because in a way it was appropriate for you to toss it off, because she kind of tosses it off. It doesn't seem that important. It just seems like part of her daily activities, like
exactly.
peeling the potatoes. So at every day she welcomes in a different gentleman at a certain time. And I just want to play a clip from the movie. Again, there's not a lot of dialogue in this movie, so you're not going to hear much. Okay, so he says, see you next Thursday, and hands her money, and that's it. Mm. Talk about what is happening there. Why is she entertaining male clients?
Yeah, well, you get the sense that she is in a particular financial position that she needs to make money, and perhaps that she doesn't see, you know, giving over her sexuality in that way as being anything terrible. It is, like you said, just treated as one of the tasks that she does throughout the day. And you never see what goes on camera. They go into a room, the door closes, you're left to imagine what happens in there. And I think that part of this whole film, you feel the presence of Chantal Ackerman just observing this life, this woman behind the camera just taking in on this life. And, you know, perhaps she needed to do that, you know, to make money, or she just, yeah, this is the way that she's chosen to be able to do it. She has a baby as well. I mean, she's got a lot going on in her own life that maybe she couldn't have an everyday job.
Right. So she has this son who goes off to school every day, and she gives him money as he heads off. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back at the end of her day, and they have dinner together, pretty silent dinner. And then at the end, he goes to bed at the end of day one, and they have a conversation. They have a pretty long conversation. Mm-hmm. And he asks her, how did you meet my father, and why did you marry him? And let's hear a little bit from their conversation.
Tu avais envie de faire l'amour avec lui?
Les, tu sais, ça n'avait aucune importance, ça ne faisait rien.
So basically, they're having a conversation where he asks why she would want to have sex with someone she didn't find attractive. She said her husband, his father, was ugly. And he says, well, if I were a woman, I could never make love with someone with whom I wasn't deeply in love. And she says, how could you know? You're not a woman. And then that's it. That's the end of the scene, which is pretty great. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that and what that conversation says about Jean Dillman.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the great things about this film is that it is quite ambiguous. There's a lot left unsaid, and there's a lot that is not explained in the film. You're left to imagine, yes, why she takes on clients. And one thing, you know, she sort of implies is that she used her good looks for her husband, and that didn't work out very well for her economically. So it seems like she's using her looks now as a way to at least make money from it. But it seems like she has no issue with sexuality, and that she knows that he, the son, can't quite understand what it's like for a woman who sometimes, and probably more so in the 70s, but even now, sometimes the only power that you have and your only value is your beauty or your sexuality.
So why do you think that this was now voted as the best movie of all time by Sight and Sound?
It's about time, I say. I mean, these polls, these film canons, for so long they have been dominated by male directors, and great work by men, but it engenders this idea that Hollywood is a place for men, and that film belongs to men and not to women, and that the work of women, much like Jean Dillman's domestic work, is not worthy of examination. It's not on the same level. So I think now that we have gone through Me Too, we've had many more conversations about gender inequality in all industries, and especially film, and we see more female filmmakers finally getting awarded, getting Oscars, getting opportunities, that now the people that they're polling, hopefully, I think they're probably a more diverse bunch as well, the people that are contributing to this list, but also just having more of a broader understanding that female directors have always been around and they've always contributed great work. They just haven't been as widely shown as other directors.
Well, Alicia, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show today to talk about Jean Dillman.
Thank you so much. It's always fun to talk about this film and to talk to you.
Yes, thank you. Alicia Malone, host on TCM, Turner Classic Movies, and her latest book is called Girls on Film, Lessons from a Life of Watching Women in Movies. And that does it for this week on Press Play. Our producers are Brian Hardzinski, Angie Perrin, Bennett Purser, and Marcel Hutchins. Michelle Aloy is our line editor. Amy Ta is our digital editor. Sarah Sweeney is our managing producer. And our technical director is the ever super Mario Saavedra. I'm Madeline Brand. Thank you for listening. I will see you on Monday.